This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Friday, the 14th of June. It is just after 12 o'clock. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Raj
and Audrey Raj.
It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you tuned in yesterday, we had a virtual Jeff Sandu who had flown via JeffJet over to Shanghai to cover day one of CES over in Shanghai, the Consumer Electronics Show 2019. Of course, we've got more updates from that coming up in just a few minutes. Jeff has some more updates for us. A roundup, of course, we've got stuff about the AI and the dawn of 5G, a tour of the exhibition hall looking at automotive tech, autonomous vehicles, AR, VR, all that kind of juicy stuff. Then we've got a story about a story about Huawei apparently deciding they needed more bad press, and they've been using ads on the wallpaper of some of their phones. Then wrapping up with Nintendo is reinventing video game culture yet again. Computers. There you go. If you'd like to get in touch with today's show, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Shall we hand the show over to Jeff Sandu then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should.
Jeff, take it away, my friend. Over to you for day two at CES Asia.
It's day two here in CES Asia 2019 in Shanghai. Let me start with this clip for you.
But as these technologies connect us, people, economies, and countries, we do face challenges. And in an era of global connectivity, free trade, and borderless commerce, siloing innovation with tariffs causes global economic uncertainty. No matter where you live, tariffs are taxes. Simply put, a trade war is bad for every country involved. There's an old saying, when elephants fight, the ground gets trampled, everyone loses. So we try to focus on what unites us rather than what divides us.
That was Gary Shapiro. He's the president and CEO of CTA when things kicked off yesterday. And in day two of the biggest consumer tech event in Asia, I got first-hand experience in some of the technologies here, like artificial intelligence, automotive technology, robotics, 5G, and more that unites us. But let's start with the much-anticipated keynote session today with Dr. Chang Huang. He's the co-founder and VP for Horizon Robotics. They are one of the leaders in the AI space here in China. That means one of the leaders in the AI space in the world, because China is quickly positioning itself as a global leader in this space. Dr. Chang spoke at length about the innovations with AI and the challenges that lies ahead, most notably on how are we going to process the explosion of data, unstructured data, that will be generated in the near future thanks to IoT. Just how much of data, you might be wondering? Well, a recent IDC study expects worldwide data will grow to 175 zettabytes by the year 2025. That's less than 6 years from now. And just how much is 175 zettabytes? Well, one zettabyte is approximately a trillion gigabyte. So just as your brain is now struggling to compute that number, cloud computing will struggle as well.
However, there is no way for us to transmit those data from the devices efficiently to the cloud for processing. So just around the 5G stations, there is a barrier lake effect that will be created. A lot of data around the devices and at their edge, which entail real-time processing. So they're pretty much stuck around the edge. There is no way for you to effectively send them to the cloud.
So this is where edge computing comes into play. Edge computing is a distributed open AI architecture that features decentralizing processing power, enabling mobile computing and IoT tech. If you're still with me here, then let me break it down for you. Basically, all the data that's generated from the device, like your autonomous vehicle, will be able to be processed by the car itself, even when it's offline, without the need to send it to the cloud or a data center. This reduces the latency issues, which can be life-critical, especially when autonomous vehicles are fast approaching and it needs to make a decision in split seconds.
Take autonomous driving, a very typical edge computing scenario. A driver may be equipped with more than 10 cameras, capturing images every second with millimeter wave, radar, and many other sensors. There are data generated from the external environment and interior. For some data, is it possible to transmit them to the cloud and then feedback the decisions to the car? Of course, the answer is negative. So, without a shadow of doubt, the predominant number of data have to be processed at the edge.
With the challenge of this huge data growth and processing need, he also talked about the environment and how processing data in data centers is taking a toll on the environment because of the power usage. It felt like every step that we take, it's a challenge too far, but for Horizon Robotics, they're looking at this as an opportunity. And with that, he introduced the joint optimization and flexible features of the Horizon algorithm, chip and computer. The efficient architecture enables the Horizon scheme to serve both classical and future algorithm designs, as well as advantages from the opening and empowerment of their AI development. Next up, I took a look around the exhibition hall, all 5 hangars of them. And since it's a Friday, I went out searching for the cool and weird tech that's normally found at these expos. But first, I had to make a stop at the automotive tech section, where Mercedes-Benz had their first vehicle to be launched under the EQ brand, the EQC 400 4MATIC SUV. Very elegantly put, it's the Mercedes-Benz among electric vehicles. Continental was there as well, and they showed off their autonomous and electric driverless mobility vehicle. It's called the Cube, or the Continental Urban Mobility Experience in full. Well, the letter B in Cube comes from the word mobility. This has already begun trials in Frankfurt, and it's actually a really good way to improve the traffic situation and thus improving the quality of life in urban areas. It's like a cube that has no driver, no steering wheel, no brake pedals, and can fit a number of passengers like a mini bus. Moving on to something that I spoke about briefly yesterday, Audi. They had a demo of something that they call HoloRide. So HoloRide was founded by former employees of Audi that had created a platform for AR and VR for passengers in a vehicle. And they left the company and started HoloRide and made this open for all car manufacturers to have a play with it. Audi, however, still owns a small stake in their company. What HoloRide does is matching the VR content to the vehicle's movement, so when the car moves, the content moves in the same way. I got my hands on the space shooter demo while sitting at the back of an Audi A8, and I can tell you, this was actually pretty cool. Although I'm not entirely sure passengers in autonomous vehicles or ride-hailing services, which is where they're targeting at, would want an AR-VR experience, or in this case, an XR experience. But time will tell, and if they can get the right content makers on board, more car manufacturers to buy in to their idea and share the data and the vehicle's movements to match the VR content, then maybe these headsets will have found a new use case. And it makes the journey through rush hours a little bit more fun or educational. And then there was Kia and Nissan. Let's start with Kia. They were showing off their fully autonomous concept vehicle, and it's called the Habanero. Very spicy indeed. What's interesting is their concept of projecting movies onto a windshield, and that reads your mood with artificial intelligence. Using something called biosignal recognition, the AI is able to alter conditions in the cabin related to the senses of the human being to create a more pleasurable and safer driving experience. Kia is calling this the Real-Time Emotion Adaptive Driving, or REED, system. And if that's not creepy enough, Nissan was demonstrating their brain-to-vehicle technology that will allow the car to read your mind. The system works by reading brain waves using an electrode-studded headgear, which captures our brain signals via EEG and interprets it using AI. The tech will detect brain signals as soon as they are triggered and then translate into driver assist technologies. Nissan says this will help drivers in semi-autonomous cars to be a lot safer. But some are doubtful that this technology has the ability to filter out other signals, and as someone who loves driving a lot, I really don't think people would actually want to be driving with a headgear on. The one common feature I saw in all of these vehicles here, be it a concept or the ones that are just launched into the market, is just how stunning the cabin looks. Everything's very glossy, everything's all touchscreen panels, and everything's very smooth and curved and intuitive. Everything just feels perfection. So I then moved on to some AR, VR stuff, and I probably spent a bit too much time on the train simulator on VR, and you know how much I love these simulators, especially train simulators, so you might just find my name on the leaderboard here. And what leaderboard, you may ask? Well, perfection is your answer, Richard. Perfection. And then there was robotics. Oh boy, there were countless number of brands and manufacturers showing off their personal home robot. Remember Rosie the robot maid in the Jetsons? Well, almost all of these robots resemble Rosie, and they are already actually invading our homes. These are all personal robots that you can buy right now and bring them home. From Temmie, the personal robot, Padbot, Siasenbot, Canbot, and a whole bunch of other bots. They all want to be a companion in your home and in your life. And they all have this screen with an animated welcoming face and wheels to move around and an AI as a brain. Some of them were happily dancing in sync with their robotic arms, moving about doing the actual robot dance, while some was moving about serving drinks, replacing the human waiter. And then there was also some that could follow you around and do a video call, and so you'll be like one of those talking robot heads in other people's homes. They all just looked too friendly. And I actually caught one taking a nap and snoozing quietly at the corner as it was charging itself. I mean, they all really look too friendly here. But, you know, you just know that one day this blue-screened happy face will turn everything upside down. I mean, we've seen the movies, robots, so we know you too well. But jokes aside, a personal favorite of mine was something called the GJS Robot. It's a 10-inch size robot that reminds me of the Hugh Jackman movie Real Steel, albeit a much, much smaller scale. But the controls that you use kind of mimics the movements of these robots as you battle them out with your friend's robots. It's very cool. I definitely want one of these. And finally, I left the weirdest one of my entire CES Asia experience for the last. It's a company called Scent Realm. And with a tagline that says, "Come and have a scent chat with me." I really don't quite know how to describe this, but they are a digital scent technology company and the first global digital scent solution provider. They believe that in the world of AR and VR and MR and XR, we've been enabled to extend our sense of touch, hearing, sight, taste, but never the sense of smell. They have been able to decode smells and transmit them instantly in a very certain way. There was a queue, but I had to check this out. So while queuing up, they presented us with a demo on a device with an app and a chat messenger that will trigger different types of smell when you're talking to your friend. So, for example, if you were to send me a photo of your coffee, Rich, I'll be able to smell the aroma of the coffee beans. Or if I was sending a photo of roses to my girlfriend, she'd be able to smell them roses. It's tacky, but it did work. And then we got into this small closed room where they played us snippets of movies, and in each of these clips, the scent of the objects on screen was extremely noticeable. One of the clips was a scene from the Grand Budapest Hotel, and it was when Mr. Gustave was spraying the Lierre de Panache perfume, and I could actually smell it. Same goes with the cooking shows that was on display, and the food, they smell really good. But it was also really strange. I mean, I really didn't know if I liked it or if I didn't like it. All I knew is I walked away from the booth smiling and confused, but with a very itchy nose after various of different smells. So that's all for me from CES Asia 2019 in Shanghai. I've got a couple of interviews around trends and consumer insights that will be aired on Tech Talk in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. But for now though, I'm off to play more Train Simulator VR. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Back to you guys in the studio.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I noticed he always reminds me about my coffee and his train simulations and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't he supposed to be working?
That's
he sounds like
I thought.
He's having too much fun.
He's always having too much fun. He was in Las Vegas, he's in Shanghai. I don't actually think he does any work. He just phones his work in, you know, from wherever he is on the planet.
I mean, if you have a Jeff Jet.
If you have a Jeff Jet, you'd be using it all the time.
You can
right?
be anywhere, yeah.
You would.
Jeff Jet.
Ladies and gents, we're going to take a very small break. We've got some white denim with custard pie up next. When we come back, looking back at some of the things that Jeff has talked about there, we'll be talking a little bit briefly about the moods for the Kia Habanero.
Habanero.
It looks very cool. And a few other bits and pieces. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Audrey Raj.
Arvinia Braj.
If you're only just tuning in, you missed 15 minutes of Jeff Sandhu over in Shanghai talking to us from the CES 2019, the Consumer Electronics Show. He spoke about zettabytes. He spoke about movies and moods, headgear and racing drivers, train simulators, Scent Realm, mentioned coffees. What exactly is a zettabyte? He mentioned zettabyte and I went, what is that?
Yeah. Well, he's said a zettabyte is actually 1 trillion gigabytes. So I'm like, why didn't they just call it 1 trillion gigabytes? But it's also, I don't know, I looked this up, right? It is basically 1 sextillion bytes.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Like how many zeros are in there, right? By the time you count the zeros. But basically, just to give you a gauge, in all of 2000, as of 2009, the entire World Wide Web was estimated to contain just half a zettabyte.
What?
So, and he was talking about how in the future, everything is going to be measured in zettabytes, right?
Yeah.
But as of 2009, and how long has the internet been around, right? They've accumulated just half a zettabyte of data.
Wow.
Until 2000.
And we had a quick look at the, it was the Kia Habanero.
Yes.
Very cool.
That's a nice name. Yeah.
It's a spicy little chili, that's why.
Mm-hmm. It is. It looks like a little chili. Yeah. It's like a nice compact car.
Yeah, and you look at the images and it is, it's on fire. So I guess maybe that's why it's so spicy. Oh.
Look at that pun. Yeah.
It's spelled H-A-B-A-N-I-R-O.
Oh, is it?
Habanero.
I see.
I think it was a typo. Talk to their marketing team.
But really cool looking car. You know, and he was talking about how that it would have like a... I'm not sure if he was talking about this one or the Nissan because I didn't quite catch it, but how it would project movies onto your windshield and that the movies would be interpreted by AI just kind of reading your mood.
Mm.
So more of these AI trying to figure out what you want and just giving it to you, you know? And
would you wear like a helmet in the car? Because he said that, you know, people driving wouldn't want to wear a helmet. I wouldn't want to wear a helmet in the car.
Headgear.
Well, you're driving, so it's a helmet. Well, so, you know.
Well,
it's a helmet.
What about this? Sweatband is not a helmet. I mean, similar thing, right? No?
Yeah, kind of. It's like VR headgear.
Like a thing around your forehead so it reads your brainwaves.
Oh, even worse.
Oh, dear.
Scared me were all these new terms. I mean, we've heard of AR and VR, but now like MR and XR, I was like... MR? Mm. What is that? I only know the morning run.
Mixed reality, right?
Mixed reality, yeah. So mixed reality is a combination of, it's a hybrid reality, a merging of real and virtual worlds to produce new environments and visualizations where physical and digital objects coexist and they actually interact with each other in real time. So that's mixed reality. And then you've got XR, which is cross reality, which is a combination of your VR, your AR, and your MR. with different kinds of hardwares and software.
And then he spoke about the SentRealm stuff. So which one does that belong to? XR? It would be XR,
right? I think that would be XR.
XR?
Yeah.
It sounds
yeah.
like... I was going to ask, like, those 4D cinemas. So what are those?
Exactly, right? Mm. You don't have a headset on, though, do you?
You don't, yeah. no. Right. You have... So you don't have a headset, but you're watching a movie. And
sat
then
in a chair that moves.
Yeah, chair moves. And then it sprays, like, stuff at you and gives you, like, smells and stuff. Like, you watch Fast and Furious and you can smell, like, tires burning. Uh-huh. So that's MR? That's XR.
No, I think you need to have a... there needs to be an element of augmented reality in order for it to be MR, I guess.
Oh, so it has to be
a combination.
Okay.
It has to be a hybrid of realities for it to become MR.
Or XR.
Wow. Things
confusing,
are moving
right?
really fast.
Too fast.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to take a break. Music coming out from Deep Purple with Super Trooper. And when we come back, we'll be talking about how Huawei apparently decided they needed more bad press and they've started putting ads on phone lock screens. Hmm. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. Do either of you have a Huawei? No, right?
No.
I wonder if I know one person who has a Huawei.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Right, time for a break. We'll be back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.